Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
So we're talking about made for mission. If you remember our soapbox here, that you are made for mission, and that we all have a mission that we're to be on and have, that God has called us for and called us to do, and so that we have a platform, we have a place. And so as we kind of dig in this morning, I really want to kind of start off by just sharing with you that, you know, when you live out your purpose in life, it's not by accident. It is intentional. And there is something in your life that really makes your heart beat. There are things in your life that you get excited about, and God has wired you and shaped you and put you together to fulfill His purpose with those things that just make your heart beat really fast. I mean, if you all think about it, you have something that you think about, I really love fill in the blank. But then life gets busy, right? Then everyday life happens for all of us. And so many times we think, you know what, I want to do this for the Lord. I want to do this for the church. And then what happens, our schedule goes nuts. It gets crazy. There's a quote by Joan of Arc. She said this, "Every man gives his life for what he believes. Every woman gives her life for what she believes. Sometimes people believe in little or nothing, and so they give their lives that little or nothing. One life is all we have, and we live it. We live it as we believe in living it, and then it's gone. But to surrender who we are and to live without belief is more terrible than dying, even more terrible than dying young." What greater mission to give ourselves to than the mission in which God has called us? There is no greater mission. I mean, some people I know it's a struggle sometimes, and it feels like almost like a hide-and-go-seek to find that mission. But I'm going to tell you, it is not really that difficult. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 51, we see where Jesus, remember the Bible tells us, Luke 9:51, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Some translations say Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And Jesus was a man on a mission. His face was set to go to Jerusalem. He knew his purpose. And so there was a lot of stuff going on around him, but what his focus was his mission. His focus was the purpose that God had to fulfill, was going to use him to fulfill. And it's the same thing with us, is we really have to come to the place as believers that we are going to make a commitment, that we're not going to let anything around us, any circumstance, any static or white noise around us deter us to fulfill the mission that God has for us. In Luke 9:23 it says, and he said, "If anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And it is a recommitment daily, because we let so much stuff come in, right? We let so much stuff invade and get in the way. But I love what Jesus said in John 20:21, that he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." We are to go the way that Jesus went. And we as believers must lay our life down on a daily basis. To live this life is more than just a Sunday thing or a Wednesday thing. But it is a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing. We give our lives to this thing. And so, We are part of a worldwide movement that Jesus started. But so many times, I think one of Satan's most powerful tools of distraction for those of us that follow Jesus to get us off our mission, to suck us in just to daily life, is the weapon of distraction. Are you awake this morning? Don't we live in a day that's so easily to be distracted? I want everyone to do something for me right now. I want all of you, if you have a cell phone, I want all of you to pull it out. All of you, Liz already got her out. She's live on Facebook. But everybody pull your phone out. All right, everybody got your phone? Think about this. The average person checks their cell phone 110 times a day. That works out to 9 times an hour. 55% of phone users text while driving. Don't raise your hand. We don't want to know. We know that's probably 85, 90% in the Permian Basin. 55% of phone users text while driving, which is, of course, 6 more times dangerous than drunk driving. 84% of worldwide cell phone users report not be able to go a single day without their phone in their hand. How many times have you left the house? And I mean, you may forget, where's my phone? Would you call my phone? I got to find my phone, right? 50% of teens admit to being addicted to their cell phones, that it's something they cannot live without. Now, here's the real test. Is if you pulled your cell phone out and you didn't hear one statistic that I'd have shared with you because you started looking at the notifications on your phone, amen, then you really prove the point, right? Can we all agree we live in a distracted culture? If Satan can't, listen to me, if Satan cannot make you bad, he will make you busy. If he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. A recent survey, 80% of churchgoers say that they believe they have a personal responsibility to sharing their faith. And that's not the point of this survey. However, how can we be believers and not be 100%? But 80% of churchgoers say they believe they have a personal responsibility in sharing their faith. But 61% say they haven't shared their faith in the last 6 months. Friend, if we are to have lived life the way that Jesus showed us to live life, and if we are being sent out as he was sent out, is it not also our mission to seek and to save that which is lost? Is it not also our mission to find those that are sick and bring healing? So we get to Luke chapter 9. This is our text. Verses 57 through 62. I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I love this encounter that happens right here in Luke chapter 9. Beginning in verse 57. Let's look at it together. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Verse 58, and Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, Jesus calls out to another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury the dead, their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Verse 61. Yet another said, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And I think from this passage we see several things. And the first one is this. We see the distraction of comfort. We see the distraction of comfort. Do you remember what the guy said? The guy says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." How many have ever prayed that prayer? "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Whatever you want for my life, Lord, I'll do it. I just want to serve you. I want to follow you. I love you, Jesus." Okay, I want you to serve in the nursery. "Lord, I love you. I just want to follow you." Was that too close? Was that too real? "Lord, I just want to serve you with all of my heart." "Well, we need you to be a greeter." "But Lord, I know you got your gifts and the purpose for my life. I just want to follow you." Jesus responds, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I mean, think about it. A man walks up and is ready to follow Jesus. And he says, I want to follow you. And Jesus' reply is, okay, you're going to live a life of homelessness. I mean, that's pretty much what Jesus says. We don't hear how the person responds, but it's implied that that was the deal breaker for him. That was just too much for Jesus to ask. He was totally into following Jesus as long as it didn't take him out of his comfort zone. As long as his life really didn't change that much. As long as he didn't have to uproot and change course in his life, he was ready to follow Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 4, it tells us, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Verse 26, ponder the path at your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. You know, in our family trips, there's so many times that, you know, we pray, Lord, keep us safe. Watch over our vehicle when we go on a family vacation or we're driving somewhere. And I think that's a good prayer, and especially if you live in the Permian Basin, we need to plead the blood of Jesus over anybody that drives, and I'm not being facetious about that. We need protection as we drive. But I'm thinking maybe we've gotten too safe as followers of Christ. I think maybe we've gotten too comfortable as followers of Jesus, as disciples. I think just maybe the Holy Spirit is looking for somebody that would get just a little bit dangerous. Come on, somebody. That would get out of their comfort zone just a little bit and not come around the mission and kind of get near the mission, but get on the mission that God has called them to accomplish. You're going to have to get out of your bubble to do that. You can't pray, Jesus, I know there's a purpose for me. I know there's a bigger plan for my life. And then just stay there in that prayer. You're going to have to open up your eyes and open up your heart and step out in faith. It's what you're going to have to do. You know, if you do a search on Google, I was going to put pictures on the screen, and I didn't do that. But there's some items you can buy. I mean, just to think about our society of comfort that wants to make things easier. There's a hoodie that you can buy that inflates to a pillow. I mean, think about that. I want to know why I haven't seen that advertised. Who needs the Snuggie? I want a hoodie with a pillow. An alarm clock, I kid you not, there's an alarm clock that makes coffee right there beside your bed. Oh, come on now. I'll tell you, somebody's inspired the Lord on that one. I mean, that may be a comfort thing, but we all know how much coffee that we need. I mean, if you go to Walmart, I mean, you will see how many things just make, it's just for our comfort, to make life easier. Yet with all of these inventions, is life really getting easier? Maybe the Lord is just trying to keep us uncomfortable because we haven't been on mission. What happens when the distraction of comfort comes in conflict with the mission of Jesus? What happens when the comfort becomes bigger deal in your life than Christ? But I'm going to tell you, one of the excuses we have all kinds of, when we sell ourselves short. I mean, a great example is reading through Moses at the burning bush, right? I mean, Moses gives every excuse that can be given of why he shouldn't be, in essence, the deliverer for the children of Israel and the Lord. I mean, he keeps, you know, he said, Lord, I stutter. Okay, well, there's Aaron. I mean, there's all kinds of excuses that Moses goes through, and I think we do the same thing, and I want to remind you of just several things, the reason why that God can use you to fulfill the mission is, one is this, as God anoints who he calls. If he's called you, he's anointed you. If he is putting something on your heart, even though it may be so out from your, you know, comfort zone, when you step out of that, it's just like stepping out of the boat with Peter. When you step out of that comfort zone, God's anointing is going to meet you and it's going to carry you. And then what happens is, you know that all the results and all that happens is because of God's hand on you and not you. There's another thing you need to know, is that not only does he anoint you, but he equips you. God equips who he calls. He will equip you. There's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, listen, verse 21, equip you with everything good that you need for his will. I mean, so many times God calls us out of that comfort zone and we think, I don't have that gifting, I don't have that talent, but God will equip you. You know, when God first called me to ministry, I remember, I mean, I was an awkward kid, and, you know, the last thing I ever wanted was to be in front of people saying anything. But God equipped me for his purpose and his will. And he'll do the same thing for you when you step out in faith. There's a third thing, is this, is we allow fear so often to hold us back. But the Bible says he's not giving you a spirit of fear, but he's giving you a power, love, and a sound mind. And you need to know that God gives courage to those he calls. So when you step out, what's going to happen is, because you've stepped out in faith, God's Holy Spirit's going to meet you. He's going to be in you and he's going to be on you. And as you're walking that path to get on mission, then what God's going to do, he's going to equip you with what you need. He's going to work and stir inside of your life, and you're going to see those talents grow as you use them for him, as you are a steward. And then what you're going to see, feel that courage build. You know what? It's the hardest thing is to witness and to share your faith for the first time. But once you do it once and you break that glass ceiling, the Holy Spirit's going to meet you with some courage. And you're going to get more bold, and you're going to get more bold, and you're going to get more bold. You know, a few weeks ago we had maybe it was longer than a month, however long ago it was, we had our evangelist Joe Oden. I just noticed yesterday, I was going to text him and didn't have time yet, but if you're on Facebook and you're friends with him, you'll notice that Joe Oden ran into William Shatner at the airport this last week. And so what does Joe do? I mean, you know what he did, those of you that got to know him a little. I mean, he got a personal track that he had written and went right over and sat next to William Shatner, shared his track with him, and shared Jesus with him. But you know, all it takes is that first time to break through that glass ceiling of fear. There's a second thing this morning. Not only do we have the distraction of comfort, but we have the distraction of commitments. You would think that as much as our society is growing and you know, the knowledge we're gaining and smartphones and computing, all, you know, how life is supposed to get easier. I wish I'd went back and refreshed my memory, but it was like some time ago that, I don't know if it was in the 1700s, 1800s, there was a guy that had written an article that how about in looking 200 years and ahead is that, I mean, we'd be working like 18 hours a week, having like 20 vacation weeks a year. Well, that guy missed it. What do? We have the distraction of commitments. I mean, think about the second encounter with the second man. I mean, he has this encounter. This guy says, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he says, okay, well, you're going to be homeless. And that guy's like, maybe not that far, you know. And then he looks at another guy and says, hey, you, follow me. I mean, Jesus calls out to him. And what does he say? He says, first, let me go bury my father. Now, I want you to process this for a moment. There's two things that are very important about this. Number one is this, is we can make the assumption that the man's father was not dead yet. Because if the man's father had passed away, do you think he was going to be in the crowds with Jesus, or do you think he'd be with the family where his father passed away? Is that not a logical assumption to make? Or think about this. In that culture, in that first century culture, the firstborn son, it was his responsibility to take care of his parents at the time of their death. And if he fulfilled his obligation, he always got double the inheritance. So two things are happening here. And whatever it may have been, we know that his commitment was in the wrong place. And I so often when I think about this and I preach about this, I think, you know, how would, you know, I mean, think about it a second. If Jesus was the modern day pastor and I'm like, you know, Vanessa, we really need help cleaning the church this week. Do you think, let me go bury my dad. Let your dad bury himself. I think there'd be a special called business meeting pretty quick. I mean, you think? I mean, that's the way we would respond to that. But what Jesus is making the point of is that his commitments are in the wrong place. It's not something we pick up when our schedule finally has some breathing room, but serving God is something that should be immediately first priority in our life. That wasn't a big enough amen. Some of you are not following along with me. How many times have I said it this way? You are first not a teacher. You are first not a carpenter. You are first not a salesman. You are first not a fireman. You are first not a secretary. What you are first is a believer. That supersedes everything. And if we've really given our heart and our life for him to be Lord of our life, and then when he speaks something to us and he says, this is what I want you to do, our response is not, but first, Lord, let me do this. No, our response is, yes, Lord, you are first. And whatever you're calling me, that's what I'll do first. This is not just for the sake of being obedient. It's also for our blessing. It's our blessing when we walk in obedience to the Lord. I know you're thinking, that's easy for you, preacher. That's easy for you, Rev. You know, so many times, poor pastor kids, right? They get used to illustrations all the time. But there's something that we've taught our kids. Because there's so many times that maybe some friends or some other students around them will say, you know, when it comes to about living their life for the Lord, and somebody will always say, but you're supposed to do that because you're a preacher's kid. You're supposed to live that way because you're a preacher kid. But what our kids know, what we've instilled inside of them, is that they don't live this life because they're preacher kids. They live this life because they're first Christians. And it's the same with me, and it's the same with you. See, it's not that that I'm supposed to be doing something special with my life and entertain you and for an hour on Sunday morning, but you're supposed to have buy-in on this thing. But we let so many things get in the way, so much busyness of schedule. It needs to be, we need to live by a new priority. First is the Lord. I want you to look at your neighbor and say it with me right now. First is the Lord. You didn't say it loud enough. Look at your neighbor. Look at them. Just look at. First is the Lord. It's not something for me and something else for you. It is first is the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, I think we see a caution. We see something we need to be aware of. And it's when King David had his fall with Bathsheba. And if you read 2 Samuel chapter 11, you'll see something that when that happened, the Bible says that all the kings were supposed to be out at war. There was a job that David was supposed to be doing as king, yet he remained where he was. Did you hear me? Yet he remained where he was. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent somebody in his place, Joab, and his servants with him, and all Israel. But look what it says, those last few words of that scripture. But David remained at Jerusalem. Are you more committed to your job than to Jesus? Are you more committed to your hobby than Jesus? Are you more committed to the thought of Jesus than to Jesus? Are you more committed to safety than Jesus? Are you more committed to your reputation than that of Jesus? And what I want to ask you this morning is this, is four things that keep your commitments in the right place. Number one is examine yourself. is that you take time on a regular basis to say, Lord, search my heart. Lord, show me. Look, search. The Bible tells in Psalm 139, it's the Lord that knows us and knows our heart. The second thing is this, is to seek Jesus with all of your heart. To seek him with everything that is within you. The third thing is this. Listen, this is so important. Stay in the fellowship with your church family. I'm going to tell you something, and I don't think I'm biased, but I think that Odessa First Assembly is the greatest church in Odessa. I would not be here giving my life if I believed anything different. And the fourth thing is this, persevere, 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 persevere. Say it to yourself, persevere, persevere. The third thing is this, we have, remember, the distraction of comfort, the distraction of commitments, and we have the distraction of compromise. Jesus continues to walk along the road and another man. I mean, you know, I've never been accused of being the smartest guy in the room. But every once in a while, I can take a hint. And so I'm thinking, I would have seen this play out. Oh, look, there's Jamie telling Jesus, I'll follow you, Jesus. And Jesus is like, you're going to be homeless. Okay, yeah, check. Put that down. Oh, look, Jesus is talking to Nathan. Hey, come follow me. Well, Jesus, I got other stuff to do first. Okay, yeah. Okay, I think I'm sensing a pattern here. I don't think I'd have said anything. I think. But there's a guy that didn't. He opens his mouth. And he says, Jesus, I'll follow you, Lord. I know what the excuses they gave you, Jesus, but I'm going to follow you. Jesus turns to him and replies, no one who puts their hand on the plow looks back as fit for the kingdom of God. Okay. Church growth 101. Or maybe church shrinkage 101, right? I mean, that's still a pretty intense saying. Once again, a seemingly harsh response from Jesus. I can't imagine dropping everything. I can't imagine dropping everything and going on a missions trip with a man I just met without letting my family go, because that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to let his family know. But Jesus says, first. I've heard that the word but completely impacts whatever was said before. You've ever heard that before? That whenever you hear the word but, that it impacts what was said before. I have some money, but. It's a boy, but. I love you, but, right? I mean, then we're thinking, we're processing, does it, I'm all in, maybe in context of our text this morning. I'm all in, but. I'll follow you, but. Listen to me. The mission that God has called us to must be seen as a reward and not a regret. The mission that God has called us to must be seen as a reward and not a regret. There's a man that said, David Livingston, he said this, if a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? And you need to know something. I know, I understand. I mean, there's some of you in this room. I mean, you can deliver and preach the word of God from this platform. We have some great men. We have Brother Paul right here in the back. We have Derek in the back that serves. We have others that can deliver the gospel. And maybe that's not your calling, to stand behind this glass pulpit and to preach as I'm preaching now. But every member has a purpose. There is every member of the body, and you have a purpose. And when you fulfill that purpose, you make up the body of Christ and you serve the Big C Church. There are a lot of things in our lives that are competing with God's mission.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.